really encourage you to be in darkness, to go to God's Word. You know, I'm really encouraged when I'm around people, and that's not really happening right now. But we're going to get through it, okay? I'm really encouraged around people. And I just want to say this morning that the children, you've come here, I miss you guys. I miss the adults. I miss everybody that's here. I know there are some from the middle school that I've had in class, from student council and the track team. I really miss our track team. And we're all missing each other. And sometimes it's good just to see a face. That's why the team came together here to make this happen on Sunday, so you can have some familiarity with what's happening in all this. And just kind of seeing people, even though we're, you know, doing social distancing, I know people are doing drive-throughs and drive-bys, and at least seeing people. And, you know, just, and that makes us smile when we see people that we, you know, have not seen in a while. So I'm just missing all of you. And again, being in God's presence encourages us. Being around people encourages us. But right now, just, you know, praying encourages you, hopefully. Spending time in God's Word and listening to music and listening to these ladies sing and people, and listening to Twilight sing. People have those gifts to sing. That's an encouragement to us, and it's a blessing. So, again, you just continue to be encouraged and continue to be blessed. And we're blessed that we can come together in God's presence this morning. And again, just we're going to sit down here at the cross, because I don't want you to forget about the cross. We're 2 weeks in after Easter, basically, and I don't want you to forget this. I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget what it means and symbolizes. I certainly don't want to forget what happened on it. And we sometimes do that. Some people have to have a cross around their neck, or maybe a bracelet, or a, you know, a visual presentation of that. But we need to have this embedded in our hearts, and this vision embedded in our minds of the cross. So we're just spending some time at the cross this morning, still keeping this whole idea of the resurrection fresh in our minds so we can continue to share it. And you know, last week we talked about being in God's presence wherever you are, however you are. Now last week you were in your pajamas. You may still be. Last week I was in my pajamas, but I'm in my suit right now, and that's okay. You can come into God's presence however you are, wherever you are, right? You can come into this church however you are. And God says, I'll meet you right here. Now, God says you can come as you are. But you know what? He doesn't want you to stay that way. He wants to change you and mold you into his image. He wants to change and mold you into the person that he has created you to be. And see, you have to be willing to let God do that. And during this time of social distancing and staying at home and being quarantined, we've been in God's presence wherever we are, however we are. You know, maybe you get up for church and you get ready and get all, you know, do your hair and all that. But right now, we're being reminded and humbled by the fact that God loves us just as we are. But certainly, he doesn't want us to stay that way. So last Sunday, the week after Easter, we kind of came as we are, pajama Sunday, sat down here at the cross. And we actually finished Matthew chapter 28, again, after the ladies had been to the tomb and went and done as they were told, and the disciples were to do as they were told. And just being reminded as we come to this cross, as we come as we are, we can surrender. You can surrender to Jesus wherever you are, however you are. And God says, I love you. Come as you are. But I'm going to change you. Again, I've shared that before, and even last week, I think, I can't change anybody. Your parents can't change you. We can certainly lead you and help you, and the influences your life can influence you and hopefully steer you in the right direction. That's what ministry is about. That's what our children's and youth ministry has always been about in this church. Even my growing up, we'll plant seeds, and you get to that point where you make that decision that God changes your heart. All the things we do here at the Baptist Church, everything that a church does, should ultimately be to bring people into God's presence, to get them to where they'll surrender to Jesus, give their hearts to him, and let God change them. See, that's what that's about. And so hopefully seeing this cross again reminds you of how we can let him have our hearts. And it's a decision, you know, that we have to make. We have to give him our heart and let him change us. And the cross reminds us of that. And so again, last Sunday, we sat right here at the cross and we asked ourselves that question, what do we do now? I mean, what's next? Easter has happened, so to speak. What do we do next? If you remember at the end of Matthew chapter 28, Jesus was talking to the disciples and he said, God, You're to continue to do the work I've called you to do. So go do it. You've been watching me. Hopefully you've been listening and paying attention. Now go do it. And he reminded them what? Very important at the end of Matthew chapter 28. You guys go, and I'll be with you. And hopefully that stuck with you this week. That God wants you to go and to do his work. If you're a Christian, if you surrender to him and believe in him, you're doing what he's called you to do. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, leading people to the cross. That's what we're to be doing. Go. But it's the ultimate hope in that last verse that he says, I'll be with you. And that's a reminder to us that he'll be with us always and forever. God has said it over and over again. He's as close to you as you want to be. You can keep pushing away. Just like an old boyfriend or an old girlfriend. You can keep pushing away, right? You can keep pushing your friends away. You can keep pushing God away too. He can come back, okay? And he ain't gonna leave. So, as we come to the cross this morning, let's continue to be reminded of what's happened on this cross, because Jesus told those guys, you continue. We are to continue to go and to do the work that he has called us to do. So that's what we're going to do. And so this morning, we're here at the cross. We're going to go on a little walk. A little walk with Jesus. There's that song. We'll go a little walk and talk to Jesus. Have you been doing that? I think you've been doing that. I think a lot of us have been talking to Jesus a whole lot more. And he is really happy. And he wants us to continue to do that. So we're going to go on a little walk this morning. It might be a familiar story. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 24. And just a reminder, because I have people that keep asking me after this airs, so to speak, Psalm 115 is our scripture that we use. Psalm 115, 1 through 3 for our time of prayer and praise this morning, focusing on praise. And last week, we finished chapter 28 of Matthew, and this morning we're in Luke chapter 24. So go with me to Luke chapter 24, and hopefully you have a Bible. If not, just listen this morning to God's word. We're in Luke chapter 24, verse 13, and we'll go on a little walk. You've been taking some walks. Those are legal. You can take a walk. Should be doing that. As you're taking a walk, are you thanking and praising God as you hear birds and see birds and thank God for the sunshine and lots of rain we've been having? Thanking God for that too, right? Let's go on a little walk. Think about a walk. I want you to picture this. You're going on a walk. Now they say when you go on a walk, just don't talk to me. I can't do that. Okay? I just can't. I mean, I'm trying my best to stay away from people, but I don't talk to you. Okay? And I've heard that Dr. Fauci or whatever his name is say that, you know, when this is all over, if it's ever going to be over, right? When we all get back, that we should avoid shaking hands. Does that involve, did he even say anything about hugging? Because I just got to be around people, right? So when you go on a walk, usually when you go on a walk, you're by yourself. I like to take morning walks, and I've been doing that. I spend a lot of time with Jesus when I go on my walk in the morning. Usually don't see a whole lot of people, but if I do, I do talk to them. I've been distancing right now. But think about it, when you go on a walk, usually if you're going with a spouse or your family, you're going on a walk, just kind of you. Maybe you see people, you might talk to them, right? But a walk is just kind of time we spend together with ourselves and people we love. So let's go on a little walk this morning. And we're on Luke chapter 24. And I'm going to begin in verse 13. And it says, now that same day, and remember it says that same day when everybody's hearing and been told. Not many have seen it, just a few, but they've been told and people have heard that Jesus has risen. And people are starting to hear that. So it's that same day. It says, now that same day, two of them meaning people who heard or a part of the talk or a part of the village, it says, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. So these guys are lost. They're just going on a walk. Hey, let's go for a walk. They're going on a walk, and they're talking about all this stuff they're hearing about, you know, this Jesus is risen. They're talking about everything that's going on. You do that. You know, we gather. When we gather together, we talk about things. And, you know,
this might be called gossip. We should be gossiping, right? Hey, I don't know. If you are looking for something to do, because I know there's not football, there's not basketball, there's not baseball, not a lot of sports on TV, and not a lot of live shows on, maybe you should check out Andy Griffith. He'll bring you back to reality. Because last night, now we end our day at the Newsom household with Andy Griffith. It's a great way to end your day, because it really just kind of makes you, I don't know, appreciate things. And last summer, we went to, you know, visit Mayberry and, the home of Don Knox and all those kind of, where all that was filmed. Don Knox is from Oregon. But I've really gotten into it. But you know what, on yesterday's episode, Aunt B and the ladies in Mayberry loved to gossip. They loved to kind of take things and blow them off abortion. Well, the men do that too, and Aunt B proved that. So we have to guard ourselves against gossip and talking and sharing and saying things we shouldn't. But this is kind of like a walk. And they're just talking about what's happening. And Jesus shows up, but they don't have any clue. They don't know that it's him. Okay? And so they're just talking about what happened. Now, I want you to picture that. You're going on a walk. And you see someone you know. And they might say, can I walk with you? And you would say, yes, but not right now, right? Social distancing. You'd say, oh, yeah, come walk with me. Now, some stranger that you don't recognize or don't know comes walks for me, and you're like, no, I got mace in my pocket, right? some stranger comes up to you, wants to walk with you, say, get away from me, and you might even pull out a gun, right? I mean, I don't know, but I'm just saying, you're on a walk, you don't want to be bothered, you're having your own conversation, and some guy just joins you and starts walking with you. Oh, it's just any guy. They have no clue. Not a clue. So this guy, verse 17, he asked him, what are you discussing together as you walk along? Or, hey, what are you guys talking about? Now, you would say, hey, son of your business, get away from me. Right? With your can of mace, right? Now, we're people, right? You know me here at the Baptist Church. We're going to use God's word. But we're going to use God's word, and we're going to put this in real life, okay? These are two people talking about what's happening, this great event. Jesus is risen. Here's Jesus. And he just wants to say, hey, what are you guys talking about? These guys didn't shoo him away. They didn't tell him to get lost. They didn't attack him in any way. They didn't squirt mace in his eye. Okay? They stood still, it says. They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them named Cleopas said, or asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that happened there in these days? So they're basically saying, Jesus comes up to him, what are you guys talking? And they're like, what? You don't know? Well, how would they know? He just joined the walk. How would he know? He didn't hear them. He just shows up, right? And they're like, you don't know? Well, they're the ones that don't know, right? This is a great story. What are you discussing together as you walk along? So they stood still with their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked them, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? This is a great line from Jesus. What things? Isn't that great? I think it's great. Because this whole story, Jesus could pop up right now. Are you ready? Are you ready? I mean, Jesus could show up today. You've got to be ready. Now, that's the reality of life. I just talk about coming to the cross and giving your heart to Jesus. You've got to be ready because you never know. You don't know. We didn't know this pandemic was going to hit America. You just don't know what's going to happen. So in this story, there's a lot of unknowns. Is there really? Jesus just shows up. That's how he is. That's what he did during his life. He showed up. When people were in need, he just shows up, right? He just still does that, I believe. He shows up. He's always here. He's always there. And so Jesus says, what things? And they're probably like, what? What about Jesus of Nazareth? They replied. Now they're probably thinking, this guy, where is he even living? Under a rock? And again, it's not Jesus. You do that. When you're spreading your gospel, talking about factual information, you're like, I didn't hear that. Where you been? I mean, you like knocking out of your house? I mean, and you should be coming out of your house, right? Stay at home. So what things, he asked, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet. powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. So here's this interaction. These two guys are walking, just kind of getting away. They're talking about what's happening. This guy shows up. It's Jesus. And Jesus is just playing along. You know why he is? Because everything that Jesus did, I believe, made it into a teachable moment. This is a teachable moment. He, as we read this, he's just going to listen to see what they know, see what they've heard. That's what's happening here. So as we go on here, in verse 20, it says, the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was one who was going to redeem Israel. See, that day they were hoping for that. And he wasn't. They just didn't recognize him. This is what this is about. Recognizing Jesus. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. So these are these two guys telling Jesus what's going on. What happened? Okay? And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Jesus was alive. In verse 24, then some of our companions went to the tomb and found him just as the women had said, and they did not see Jesus. So this is the, you know, this is the day, right? I mean, he's risen. People are talking about it. It's still going on. People are talking about it. These guys are just going on for a walk to talk about it. Jesus meets up with them, and they're telling them all that's happened, all that they've heard. People meeting up, people telling this, people doing this. This is what's happening. This is what they're talking about. This is what they're saying. And again, who people believe that he was, a prophet, and here they're hoping that he'll redeem Israel. So Jesus is just listening. Jesus is a great listener. God's the ultimate listener, right? Up in heaven, listen to us right now, right? So Jesus' ministry was about listening to the needs of the people, made everything into a teachable moment. So he's listening to these guys who are not recognizing Jesus at this moment. So he says to them, how foolish. Now, you might say, you know, sometimes we say that to our children when we're upset. How foolish is that? Jesus, in a kind, compassionate, loving way, in making this a teachable moment, he says, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Now, that's a teachable moment. Prophets came. We read that in the Old Testament. Prophets came and said what's going to happen, and then the Messiah's going to come. He's pretty much summing that all up. Okay? Yeah, you guys are right. The prophets came. I'm not a prophet. I'm the Messiah. I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I am the Messiah that the prophet said was coming. In verse 27, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So, see what's happening here? Jesus had risen from the dead. People are talking. The news is spreading. These guys go for a walk. Jesus shows up. He just listens to what they know, what they've heard. And then, he reminds them and tells them and teaches them what the scriptures said all about himself. Yeah, the prophets came and were preparing us and kind of warning us. And then the Messiah's going to come. He's talking about himself. And I think they're listening. So as they approached the village in verse 28, so they're getting close to Emmaus, which is where they were walking to, right? So right, what it says here, we're on the road called Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem, the walk to Emmaus. There's a program. It used to be, I don't know if they still have it, walk to Emmaus, where you'd be a weekend where you'd go and you'd sponsor someone to go with you. You'd have a little walk. You're removing all the distractions of life and spend the weekend walking and talking with Jesus. And so that's where we get that. But this Emmaus, they're getting close. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going for it further. So he just kind of keeps on walking. Right? Now that is Jesus, right? And that's what he did. He teach, preach, heal, and move on. Well, he did what he did. He did what he was supposed to do. Had a teachable moment. And let's move on. But they urged him strongly, no, stay with us in verse 29, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went on to stay with them. You know, and he said, hey, where are you going? Where are you going? And Jesus kept walking. And hey, hang out with us, because these guys, I think they're liking what they're doing. They're learning some stuff here. Still not recognizing, but they're, So they sat down, and they're going to kind of eat, have a meal. Very Baptist-like, right? You know, don't you guys miss all our meals here? Don't you worry. We're going to have that. I know people are asking, when's the chili cook-off? It's going to happen. The kids are trying to raise money, and all the power invested in me, we're going to get to the Sight and Sound Theater this summer in Hershey, because I'm going to need lots of chocolate, man. I'm going to need a bunch. Our fellowship and our dinners will continue, but they're going to sit down and fellowship. See, there's fellowship. We miss the fellowship. We're still in God's presence, studying His Word, worshiping Him. We miss the fellowship, don't we? It's biblical, really. Fellowship is biblical. When He was at the table with them, He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And they're like, oh my gosh. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him. We just spent the day with Jesus. Wow. You spend your day with Jesus? He's not physically in your presence, but He's in your presence through the Holy Spirit. You spending time with Jesus? You take Him. This walk right here turned out to be the best walk ever. Okay? Have a little walk. Have a little talk with Jesus. And so they recognized Him, and He disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us? What about you? Do you have a burning desire to know God's Word? Do you have a burning desire to have a relationship with Him and to be in His presence? Do you have a burning desire in your heart to be as close to Him as you can always be? That He would never leave you, because He says He'll never leave you. We're the ones that leave and run. This talk, this walk, turned out to be most beneficial, didn't it? We need to do that. As we come this morning to this cross, reminded what's happened, regardless of what happens in your life or in your surroundings or all around you, we got to spend time with Jesus. We want to know Jesus and know His Word. We got to spend time with Him. We got to take a walk and get rid of all the distractions and spend time with Him. And these guys are like, man, He just opened the Scriptures to us. If you open the Scriptures, God reveals Himself to you. That's what this is about. You open God's Word, you open the Scripture, which this is the truth, right here, I'm reading the truth. It'll reveal itself to you. It'll change your life. And see, we as the church, we as Christians are to do as the disciples were told to. Go make disciples. Plant seeds. Bring them in. They'll make a decision. And they'll have a burning desire to know God's Word and to learn the Scriptures. So they got up, it says here. They got up. In verse 33, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, is it true? And they're like, it is true. Like, hey, we just had a talk with Jesus while we were on our walk. It is true. Why didn't they know that? You want to do that? Hey, let's do that after the end of church day. Just go running. People think you're crazy. We're all crazy anyway. Everybody's crazy right now, so it's not going to be anything out of the norm. Just run down the street, okay? And scream, it is true. Just keep running. It is true, it is true. Just keep on running. Just let people think about it, okay? Just do it. And if you end up getting arrested, just call me. I'll get you out. Right? We're all crazy, right? But, man, I'll be crazy for Jesus for the end of my life. To the very end. Being crazy for Jesus. These guys are coming back. Hey, it is true. We just saw Him. But see, you can't see Him. And I can't see Him. So we're really living in faith here. And knowing this to be the truth. I believe it. Do you believe it? I believe you tuned in this morning. You're watching and listening. Because you want to believe it. And you're trying to believe it. And you're learning to believe it. It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way. And how Jesus was recognized by them when He broke the bread. So these guys come back and say, hey, it's true. Let's And they're telling about their walk with Jesus and the talk that he had with them and how they recognized him when he broke the bread. We're going to do that next Sunday. We're going to break bread together, drink the cup together, which reminds us of Jesus, our Savior, who died on this cross. That this cross and the story lives in our heart forever. So, wow. What a walk. We ought to be taking more walks. We certainly have to have more talks with Jesus. And having that burning desire. Wow. Having that burning desire, as these two talk about, recognizing him. So that's the story this morning. This walk to Emmaus. I encourage you to take a walk. Remove the distractions, go for a walk. Focus on Jesus. Spend time with him. Remember what's happened at the cross. So my question to you this morning is, do you recognize him? Do you recognize the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Do you recognize Jesus as your Savior? Is he your King? Is he the Lord of your life? That's the question this morning. Do you recognize him? And ultimately, when your time is up, and you go to be in heaven where God is now watching over, will God recognize you? And will he say, come, my son or daughter. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You want to recognize Jesus? You got to know his word. You want to have a burning desire to know him more, more and more? Reading his word, spending time in his presence, you will have a burning desire to spend more time. I can't get enough of him. I can't get enough of him. I really... Again, I miss you being here, but I get real excited about getting here in the morning and just spending time with you in God's presence. Do you have that burning desire? So ultimately, that question, it all comes down to all of us have that decision. Do we believe this to be true? Do we recognize him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Do we recognize him as the Savior and Lord of our life? And again, sometimes you just got to go for a walk. Just kind of come and sit down at the cross, so to speak, and, you know, sit down and spend time with Jesus. The reality is that still many don't recognize him. The story of Easter is over, so to speak, on the calendar. The crucifixion, the resurrection has happened. Some people don't recognize it to be the truth still. But I really believe in my heart that through this pandemic, that more and more people all over the world, right now, hopefully today, are surrendering to Jesus, right where they are, in his presence, recognizing Jesus as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and recognizing him as their personal Savior. You can do that right now. You don't need the pastor to do that. You can do that right where you are. Just down on your knees and say, God, I surrender. I admit that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe this to be the truth. I recognize Jesus as the Savior of the world. And I recognize that I need that hope. And I confess him as my Lord and Savior. You can do that. And you can go right through the streets of Shenzhen, wherever you might live, all over the world, and tell people, just like this, and you'll see the others screaming, he's here, right? Do you recognize him? You know, I've been praying for you, and I know you've been praying for me. I've been praying for people who don't even know. We're always to do that, praying for the lost and unsaved all over the world. And so this morning, in my time of preparing and getting ready for worship this morning, I listened to a song. And I know it is a song here in the hymn book at the Baptist Church, but it's called People Need the Lord. And the chorus simply says this, people need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. Wow. When we realize we must give our lives, people need the Lord. I think you're here this morning with me because you realize you need him. You recognize your dependence on the Savior. You understand that he's your hope, my hope. He's the only hope. The reality is that if you're listening this morning, you don't care where you come from, what you've done, what you haven't done, you need the Lord. I need the Lord. I can't even get up in the morning without him. I need the Lord. You need the Lord. The
People need the Lord. And again, why do we need him? Because he's our only God. He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Do you recognize him this morning? People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. Sometimes we get to just the lowest place in our lives. We're down and out. The only place we can go is up. We get up off of our off the ground. We've been defeated and beaten up. I need him. Do you need him this morning? We all need him. We have to recognize that every day. We get up, you know, I think sometimes we get up in the morning and say, it's a beautiful day and things are going great. And we don't cry out to him. We don't praise him. Boy, when we need him. Oh God, I need you today. There's a semi-truck coming at me. Oh God, help me. You need him to plant your feet. You need him to get up and say, Lord, I praise you and thank you for another day. Because I'm going to need you today. I need you. It's like that song, People Need the Lord, but it's like that song, I need you. I need thee. Oh, I need you. People need the Lord. I need him this morning. If you need him, I hope you pray that prayer and surrender to him. Recognize every day, we need the Lord. We need each other. We really do. But right now, God's all we have. He's all we need. God, we thank you this morning that we can come again and meet in your presence. Right here, wherever we are right now. I'm here in church, and I'm glad to be here. Spend lots of time here, God, in your presence, and just talking to you. Sometimes I feel like, oh gosh, Lord, are we doing it right? I don't know if I'm messing this up or not. God, I need you. I can't be the pastor of this church. I cannot lead anybody without you. You're the one that makes it happen. You're the one that's in control, not me. I'm just a willing vessel. I just want to please you. I want to do what you want me to do. And I want the people that are listening right now, what I want for them is what you want for them. And we all need you. God, this morning we need you. Not just because there's a pandemic going on, because life's going on. Always. And this journey that we call life, we need the Savior that came to the journey first. He lived for us, he suffered for us, he died for us. And God, we thank you for that this morning. God, we need you. Much fruit. The reality and the great promise in all this that you know that we need. And you're always there with open arms, ready to receive us and love us, no matter how we are or where we are. God, help us this week, Lord, to just take a walk with you. Spend more time in your presence and be reminded of the cross. The body was broken, the blood was shed. But man, the hope that came out of that tomb. God, we love you. God, I need you this morning. Everybody listening needs you. The whole world needs you. Help us as the church. Help us as Christians to help people realize that they need you and bring them. We'll lead them to the cross that they might recognize the Savior. God, we surrender. We love you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
listening and watching right now. You are not alone. God says that he will be with us. He'll never leave us, nor will he never forsake us. That you're never alone. You need him this morning. I need him. People need him. We all need him. And God knows that. And he says, don't you worry. I'm with you always and forever because you are never alone. I want to thank you again for joining with us this morning. And I want you to know that I certainly love you as the pastor of this church. This church loves you wherever you are and wherever you may be. But what's ultimately the best news and the greatest promise ever is that God loves you wherever you are, however you are. God bless you and have a great weekend.